I appreciate those that were able to change the schedule for me. Again, I apologize. I'm going to just have to run out when Shir is over just to ensure I am where I need to be. Much to talk about in Parashas Bechukaisai. I will try to keep it short as we'd like to get to today's sugya as well with enough time for everything. But the first Rashi in the Parsha begs a discussion. Rashi tells us that in order for the world to exist and for us to have brachas, we need to be amul b'teira. One must be completely engrossed in Torah studies. And many times I've explained that I don't think that's pshat in the pasuk. Amel b'teira doesn't mean you're supposed to be learning 24/7. I think amel b'teira means it's supposed to be your focal point. What's important to you and what do you value? That's amel b'teira. Amel b'teira is defined not by how many minutes or to the hour you're learning, because many of us don't have enough minutes and hours to learn as we would like to. But however, amel b'teira is defined by one's value towards Torah, a person's relationship towards Torah. How do you see a person's relationship towards Torah? You see it when he has the free time. When a person has a Sunday off, a holiday off, an afternoon off, retirement, vacation days, whatever it may be, and you see how he interacts with those with that time, that shows us how exactly he feels about his Torah. I think, you know, when people make their schedule, rearrange their schedules, change their schedules, pick professions, change things that in their life do because they want to have more time to learn, that's Amelus B'Torah. That's defined in Amelus B'Torah. As a certain balabas, a regular person, he calls me often and he tells me, you know, I was learning this Gemara this morning and I have this question on it. He calls me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever it is. Amelus B'Torah doesn't mean you're learning all the time. We got to go to work. We have things to do. But where's your heart? What's important to you? What's bouncing around your head most of the day? So that's really what I think Rashi is telling us. We need to be an amul b'teira means this has to be the most important thing in our life. Does it mean I'm going to do it all day? Perhaps not. But it's a question of what's important to me. What's my focus? You know, there are certain people that get excited when there's a new Magid Shir coming to the neighborhood, a new topic. And there are certain people that get excited when the Avenger movie came out. Right? That's where your priority lays. What's important to you? If Torah is important to you, then you get excited when a new Shir comes out, when a new Sefer comes out. And I just got not too long ago, I got the third volume of Minchas Asher Chela Gimel. I was very excited. It was a great, you know, great pickup, as they say. Very excited. It's hard to put it down. Read one shayla, the next. It's exciting, right? That's exciting, right? Then there are other people that get excited by other things in the world. You know, other things make them excited. So amalus b'teira is defined. What it means really is what excites you. What are you drawn towards? What makes you happy? What is really what you consider important in life? And perhaps that's why we know, and I'm sure you'll hear about this up till and including Shavuos, the famous Tosfos in Megillah, the Aflam Aleph. Tosfos says in Megillah that we never have the Yom Tov of Shavuos right after Bechukaisa. There's always a buffer. Parashas Bamidbar is always the buffer. So many pshat and much Torah is given. We'll talk more about it Wednesday night in the Chumash here. But I think perhaps the reason why we can't go straight from Bechukaisai to Shavuos is Bechukaisai was the Rashi of Shetu Amelam B'Torah. You can't just overnight change and become an Amelam B'Torah. You need some time. If Shavuos would be today, tomorrow, well, how does anyone have any time to change a little bit of their attitude on life? So we have Parshas Bechukaisai. We read Bechukaisai Teleich, Amelam B'Torah. Okay, then we start to realize, okay, I got to change my life. I got to make some changes. I got to make some differences. So then over the days or a week, however long you'll have, you can then change your outlook. But to expect a person to change overnight, to all of a sudden drop his job and drop everything, and it's not practical. So again, not that a week is more practical, but at least perhaps Chazal are telling us that we should have some form of a time to think about what we're doing in life and try to figure out how we can perhaps redirect our day, our value system, what's important to us, where we show what's important by being more devoted to Torah study and the spreading of Torah. And just one last vart. At the end of the parasha, the Torah talks about Irchin. The Torah talks about if a person wants to promise the value of himself, an animal, humans, things like that. So Rabbi Fran brings out a beautiful idea from Rabbi Moshe Sher. Rabbi Sher asks the Kasha, which really the Baal HaTurim asks, what is the connection between the Torah and the parasha of Irchin? Why did the Torah put the two together? So Rabbi Moshe Sher suggests the following idea. He says, if you want to know the true value of a person, where he really stands, what he's all about, says Rav Moshe Sher, often you only see greatness after he goes through horrific situations. Very often, when a person goes through a tragedy, it's when his emunah is tested. And that's really when he has to see what his real erichin is, what his real value is. When a person can go through a tragedy and still come out being a God-fearing Jew, that defines perhaps who he is. That's the famous story with the Satmar Rebbe. Whenever someone would come to the Sabbath Rebbe for a bracha, he would say, go into shul, find the yid who's rolling up his sleeve to put on tefillin, and he has numbers on his arm, go to him to ask for a bracha. Why, said the Sabbath Rebbe? Because if a yid can go through the Holocaust and still put on tefillin every morning, he's takat tzadik. Said Rabbi Shasher, after you go through the teicha, and we suffered. The teicha are national, they're individualized, they're everything. Pain and suffering of the Jewish people, which there is no shortage of. And then you come out and you're still a God-fearing Jew. Says Rav Moshe Sheh, that's your erich, that's your value. Your real value is defined by how you are post the tragedy. Okay, we never wish tragedy upon ourselves or of Am Yisrael, but Nebuch finds us no matter where we go, no matter where we hide. But the question is, what are we after it? How do we come out after it? Are we different people? Are we still God-fearing Jews? Or did we perhaps, again, big Nisayan, no one's judging those who can't handle it, Chas v'Shalom. But says Rav Moshe Sheh, that's the connection. If you want to know the true value of yourself, let's forget other people. The true value of yourself is how you deal with the ups and downs and the difficult points in life. How do you come out? Then you'll know what your true value is. You'll be able to figure out what your erchin really is. Okay, today's share, I want to discuss a little bit off the beaten topic. It's not really Shavuos, it's really the Chameshes Megillas. Now, we read the other Megillas on Sukkos, so everyone's busy talking about Sukkos Torah. And then the other time is Pesach, and everyone's way busy, so no one really talks about the five Megillas. To be honest, I really planned on talking about Birchas HaTorah. And then when I sent out the topic to our shiur manager, he reminded me that we did this shiur already. Now, I didn't trust him, so I went back to look. And he was right. We did this shiur 2 years ago. It's even recorded. So I had to scratch that idea. So I decided last minute to do something a little bit different. There is lumdis, but it's perhaps a different type of a sugi than we've done in the past on a Sunday morning, but I do think it's interesting nonetheless. Let's discuss the idea of the reading of the five Megillas that we know as part of the Yom Tov experience, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, Purim, and Eicha. We have these Chamesh Megillas. What exactly, and perhaps the lumdis behind them, and where they fit in into other things that we do. So in order to discuss this, you have to figure out where does it say to read the Megillas. If you look in the Gemara, there seems to be no mention of a din that you're supposed to read the Megillos, not Rosh Hashanah Shavuos, not Kalos and Sukkos, not Shir Shema Pesach. Where does this all originate from? So the first source that brings this down is number one, is the Masechta Sofrim. There's a big discussion, we can give a whole share on this, who is the author of the Masechta Sofrim. Masechta Sofrim today can be found in the back of the Masechta Avodah Zarah. It's one of those called the Masechta Ketanis. You have that, Masechta Sofrim, and you have Masechta Kala, all these little Masechtas. Today you can even buy a separate sefer called Masechta Sofrim. There's commentaries written on it, it's beautiful. But who wrote this? Is it from the Gemara? Is it not from the Gemara? Many different opinions amongst the Rishonim. Is it from the Rishonim? Is it from the Ge'onim? Is it from the Zman HaGemara, right before the Chasimah HaTalmud? Big discussion amongst the Rishonim all over the place. Who exactly wrote this sefer? Now, this sefer is used l'halacha very often. Many of the things that we do today are attributed to Masechta Sofrim. Usually, if it's a Masechta Sofrim, it's not anywhere in Shas. So, very often, people assume there's a connection to Masechta Sofrim and the Yerushalmi. It might have been written around the same time with the same people, but the Rishonim all accept it as halacha. For example, one of the things that we fast. A Bechor fast on Erev Pesach, that comes from the Masechta Sofrim. Not saying Tachron Chodesh Nisan, that comes from the Masechta Sofrim. Reading Vayichal on a Tanit Sibur comes from the Masechta Sofrim. There are a lot of things that practically we do today that originate from the Masechta Sofrim. But this is a little different, because if you look at the Masechta Sofrim in Perek Yudalad, he writes the following, Berus, Ubishiashirim, Ubikahelis. Now Kahelis is in brackets. Maybe Sukkot's time we can come back to discuss why Kahelis is in brackets. Be'echo, Be'megil's Esther. Interestingly, the Masechta Sofrim lumps it all together. We all know Megillas Esther is a separate rule. Right, we don't touch Megillas, different rules, not like Rus and Sheh Shirim. It's read from a klaf, and you make brachas, and everyone has to hear it. Everyone knows Megillas is different. But yeah, the Masechta Sofrim, it lumps it all together. What does he say? Tzorech Loimer, Al Mikra Megillah. When you read these things, you have to recite the bracha, Al Mikra Megillah. Now, that's already questionable. Whenever you make a bracha, the assumption is that you have to do this. Or there's some form of a fulfillment in doing this. And we know, and we've spoken about this topic at length, the rule is, Amin Hoga Loy Mivarchina. We are not permitted to make a bracha on something which is merely a minute. So if the Masechta Sofrim is telling us to make a bracha, the assumption would be is that reading these Megillas are not a minute, but they're actually obligatory. What level of obligatory? I don't know. Probably not Deraisa, doesn't say anywhere in the Torah. Is it even the Rabbanan? I don't know. Doesn't say it anywhere. But we'd have to assume that if you're reciting a bracha, it must be some form of obligation. Then he writes, let's say you don't have a separate cloth for the Megillus. Let's say you just have one long, you have the whole Yeshua, the whole written with a bunch of other svarim. It's not a sefer b'fnei atzmoi. It still gets a bracha. So what you see from the Masechta Sofrim is, he assumes that all of the Megillus have the bracha al mikra Megillah. We know Esther has al mikra Megillah, that we all know. But we are not familiar, at least in most of our shuls, don't recite a bracha on Kehel, Sheshim, and Rus. That sounds like al mikra Megillah. But what's interesting about the Masechta Sofrim is the timing of when you read the Rus. If you look at Masechta Sofrim number 2, he says, when do you read Rus? So everyone knows Rus and Eretz Yisrael is the first day, America is the second day. Everyone knows that. That's not what it says in Masechta Sofrim, which is very strange, because if the whole source of Rus is from the Masechta Sofrim, shouldn't we follow what it says in Masechta Sofrim? What does it say in Masechta Sofrim number 3? Rus, b'motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shel Atzeres. We read it, the Motzei Yom Tov Rishon, the first night of Yom Tov, ad chetzye. We read it the first half, the first night. Humashlim b'motzei Yom Tov Achrin. And we finish it the second night. That's when you read Rus. Not during the day, not in shul, at night. V'yeshayimim. B'kulon maschilim b'motzei Shabbos Shel Afneim. All the Megillahs are read, the Motzei Shabbos before the Yom Tov. We don't do any of these. Neither of these minhagim were accepted, and it's a bit strange. If this is the whole source, shouldn't we follow this? And we'll see, hopefully, that the later Achreidim made halachic conclusions based on this comment in the Masechta Sofrim that says, really, we should be reading it at different times. Hopefully we'll get to it. Yitzchak Sarotzkin talks about a shayla of what happened if you're a Ben Eretz Yisrael and a Chutz Laretz v'Shvus. Should you read Rus the first day b'Yechidus, or should you wait to hear it b'Tzibur on the second day? That was a shayla Yitzchak Sarotzkin discusses in his Sefer. So he says, what do you see from this Yushalmi? From the Masechta Sofrim? You see that the timing is really not so important. Haraya, we're not even reading it at the time when they say we're supposed to read it. So timing is not so important. You can read it whenever perhaps works out better for you. Then he goes on and he says, this is the minug. It's a minug. What's the minug? The minug is when to read it, or the reading is the minug. Okay, because halacha is only kiveh once you figure out the minig is. That's if it's a proper minig. But if the minig has no basis for it, it does not consider it a minig. That's the Taisvis writes like this also, that minig backwards is Gehenim, right? Everyone, it's a Taisvis. Taisvis writes like that. But that's always if the minig has some basis to it. We live in a world today where people tell you this is a minig and that's a minig. Who made up the minig? Someone's grandmother made up a minig somewhere. Okay, that's not a minig. A minig has to be, like you write, so if a minig, v'sikin, is based on reliable people, chosheva people that had some form of a misayra, had some form of a shita and an understanding. That's a minig. Because someone did something along the way that necessarily makes something a minig. This is a continuation of what we spoke about at Tuesday night share. This is my campaign against the 7 o'clock minig of Friday night. Right? It's a minig America. Well, it's a minig America. It's not a minig, it was a minig because there were Jews who had a soyan of working Friday afternoon, and the only way to ensure that they made it back in time for work, back in time for Shabbos, was to make minig at 7 o'clock, so they made minig at 7 o'clock. Now it's a minig today? Well, it was a minig. In Europe, no one davened 7 o'clock on the clock in Friday night. It's a minig? I don't know. He says a minig means a minig that has a basis, meha Torah. That's a minig. So it says in Masechta Sofrim, the way we do it is a minig. So if you'd stop right here, it's not a shayla. Kriyas and Megillah is a chiyuv, Masechta Sofrim, and we make a brach. In the Rishonim, that's the way it seems to present. The Moshe, if you look in the Hagoyis Maiminus and Hilchos Tainis number 3, he writes like this: Umashe Koyin Eicha B'Tisha B'Av. That we read the Eicha on Tisha B'Av, Yesh B'Masechta Sofrim, UbeEicha Rabbisi, because of Rabbeinu, Da Megillas Kinnus, UMegillas Ros, UMegillas Shir Hashirim. Notice one is missing from the list: Kehelas. Kehelas is not in the list, but says the Hagoyis Maiminus, all the other Megillas Mivarech, you make a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Akeinu Mechalom, Hashem, Kedushan, Tzvanu, Al, Mikra Megillah. Kedeis, Mimsecha Sofrim. Like it says in Mimsecha Sofrim, not to talk about. Avadi, you should make a bracha on the Megillas. It says in Mimsecha Sofrim. Vechein Noeg Maram, that was the opinion of the Maram, that was his custom. So in the times of the Rishonim, they were all making a bracha on the Megillah, because why not? If you're going to accept the source of it, Mimsecha Sofrim, you should accept as well the bracha that is brought down. Well, what's interesting to notice, he doesn't say anything about making a shachiyanu. He doesn't say anything about shachiyanu. He says you make amikra megillah, but he says no shachiyanu. Hopefully we'll see that Vilna Gaon made a bracha, but he made a shachiyanu also, which is really questionable. Why are you making a shachiyanu? What type of shachiyanu is that? So we'll hope, but that's not in Masechta Sofrim. Masechta Sofrim doesn't say anything about a shachiyanu. He just says you make a bracha. If you look over here, number 4 in the Sefer HaManik, this was the Rishonim from the 1100s, mid He was born in the middle 1100s. The Sefer came in the early 1200s. He writes, "Umisecha Soifrim Shechayiv Adam Levarich Al Hei Megillah Al Mikra Megillah." He says, "No, it says no brainer. It says Misecha Soifrim. You're supposed to make a bracha Al Mikra Megillah." So in the Rishonim was pretty clear that one should recite a bracha because that's what it says in the Misecha Soifrim. However, says the Beis Yosef in number 5 in Simitov Kuf Nun Tes. Simitov Kuf Nun Tes is Hilchas Tisha B'Av, almost at the end of Hilchas Tisha B'Av, where over there he's really talking about Echa. But the Beis Yosef makes the following comment. He quotes the Hagos Maimis that we quoted, and he, in the last three lines, he writes, Ochoin, he says, Yesh Oma Benachas Uvalachas, Uva Ha'olam, Loinogu, Levarech Klal Al Shomegillah. Says the Beis Yosef, Misecha Soifim Ahi, Hagos Maimis Aher, no one does it. We don't do it. It's just not done. So there was a time when it was done. And Beis Yosef is fast forwarding to mid to late 1500s. Here we're talking about the 1200s. Maram was that time. So there was a time in history where everyone was making bracha. All of a sudden it stopped. No more bracha. Says Beis Yosef, no one makes brachas anymore. Very strange. What's going on over here? We forgot the Misecha Soifrim. We forgot it. So I read it. It's like kind of a mamonishrach. If you're going to accept the Misecha Soifrim to read it, do what he says. If you're not going to accept it, so let's skip out and make davening that shorter, that much shorter on the Yom Tov. What's going on over here? In earlier sources, that I'm aware of, could be in the Rishonim, but they're all going to be getting it from this Misecha Soifrim. Now, what's interesting is, if you look in number 6 in the Mordechai also quotes it. Misecha Soifrim al Rus Eicha Kehelos v'Shashirim. He has Kehelos in the Girsa. Bevarach Mikra Megillah. Okay, all everyone has it. Very, very strange. Everyone seems to have it in the Rishonim. Yet the Beis Yosef says no one does. Comes along the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, on his commentary to the Torah, and he says the same thing. He quotes the same thing. He says V'Amir Misecha Soifrim. He says Misecha Soifrim. Hakari b'Chamesh Megillos Bevarach Mikra Megillah. V'Afilu Ksuva Ben Aksuvim Ad Kamashene. V'Chein Kasev Maril. V'Chein Ubakois Maimris. V'Chein Aminag. That's what we do. He says, yeah, we disagree with the Mordechai who says, but what happens if it's Bein Aksuvim? Okay. But Zog the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, that's the Minog. Everyone makes a brach on the Chamesh Megillos. So the Ramah seems to be saying, at least in the Sefer Darkei Moshe, we'll see what he says in the Sefer on the Shulchan Aruch, but what he writes in Darkei Moshe, he says, yeah, that's what everyone's doing. This is Pashat custom, where everyone's making a brach on the Chamesh Megillos. The Velt has a kasha on the Masech Soifrim from a Gemara. The Gemara says in number 8, the Gemara says this in Baba Basra, number 8, Daf Yudal Mabez. The Gemara says, Sidra Shal Ksuvim. What is the order of the Ksuvim? So you have Rus, Sefer Tehillim, Eov, Mishle, Kehele, Sheer Shirim, Mekinis, Daniel, Umagilas Esther, Ezra, Vidivri Hayom. Okay. So Frekta Rashash, he says in number 9, Ulechari Yafla Madua, Shino Likre Tehillim, B'Shem Sefer. Why is Tehillim called a Sefer? Why is nothing else called a Sefer? You go through the list over here. You have a lot of Megillus. You have Sefer Tehillim and Megillus Esther. Frekta Rashash, why is Tehillim a Sefer? Kasha number 1. V'chein Esther b'shem Megillah v'einach kara b'shemon levat. And why aren't the other ones Megillus? Why is it only Megillus Esther? Why is it not Megillus Rus? And why is it not Megillus Kehelas? That's a good Kasha. So says the Rashash, you see from this Gemara, and this might be relevant for us, says the Rashash, l'chein, he writes over here, L'chein karu sefer v'Esther misham detzarech l'kais v'agil ayla klaf. He says, you know why Esther's called the sefer? Because that's the only book, that's the only thing that needs to be written that way. L'chein karu Megillah. Esther needs to be written on klaf and gil, and that's why it's called the Megillah. Al piya v'dak b'yirmiya, v'chein piyash rashi moit katin. V'chein b'chol b'sefer b'sechs Megillah, nikru b'shem Megillah stam. No, it's always called Megillah. We always refer to it as Megillah. V'chein b'chosei amikru Megillah stam. Umashma derus v'chevroseho ein nikron b'shem Megillah. Says Rosh Hashanah, what is even the Gemara Baba Basra? The only thing we call a Megillah is Esther. We don't call Rus a Megillah.
Why? Why does it change
the Lashon of that's really the way the Gemara refers to it. The Gemara used to have the Gemara in Tainus, and other places refers to it as Kinnis. We kind of adapt that to our Kinnis, but that's really what the Gemara says in Tainus is Eicha. Says the Rosh Hashanah, if this is all correct, if I'm right, that the only thing that's called a Megillah is Esther and not Rus and not Sheir Shirim. Ula Zois, Teimani, Al Hadis, and Mesech HaSeifrim. Says Rosh Hashanah, I don't understand the Mesech HaSeifrim. What does the Mesech HaSeifrim? You make a bracha al Mikra Megillah. It's not a Megillah. How can you make the bracha al Mikra Megillah? Fazishke Megillah. It doesn't need to be Megillah. It doesn't have to be Megillah. So how can you justify reciting al Mikra Megillah? Oh, so if you accept this Rosh Hashanah, so now we have Machlokes Bavli and Mesech HaSeifrim. Now we have something to talk about at least. Now at least you can say that the reason why we don't make a bracha was because of this Gemara, with the Rashash's understanding. Again, the Rashash lived much later than the Rishonim, but apparently no one else had this problem until he came to town. And therefore, you don't make a bracha. Aye, so why do you read it? Okay, it doesn't hurt to read it. It's a nice thing. And there's many pshatim. There's, you know, tons and tons of Torah, why we read each Megillah on each specific Yom Tov. I'm sure everyone will hear drushes from different Rabbanim throughout Yom Tov, why it is that way. But at least according to this Rashash, we have some of an understanding why we don't make the bracha. Not because it's not well-sourced, but because based on the Gemara, you'd have to say the Gemara argues on the Masechta Sefer. And since the Gemara holds that you can't call it a Megillah, you can't make the bracha al Mikra Megillah. What happens if it's taka written like a Megillah? That's how you go out, you spend the money, and you write it on cloth, and gil, and dior, you do it like you're supposed to. Baby still doesn't have a shame Megillah. Just because you made it look like a Megillah, it's still not a Megillah. Right? If you make your Haftarah look like that, you're still not going to make the bracha mikra Megillah. Doesn't have a shame Megillah. Doesn't need to be a Megillah. So therefore, if you accept the Rashash, so then you can understand why people didn't make a bracha. It's still shver.
Why can't there be a different bracha?
The bigger problem that we're going to really have to... Right. If you're going to make a bracha, then you have to establish it to be some form of an obligation. Are we willing to accept that as an obligation versus just being a minuk? We have a rule, you can't make a bracha on a minuk. So if the whole reading of Rus and Sher Shirim is just a minuk, then you can't make any bracha. That's really the problem.
Second day Yom Tov, it's all minuk, you're making brachas left and right.
No, that we know. That's Taisvis and Brachas Daf Yudala. Taisvis and Brachas brings a raya. That one of the rayas you can make a bracha. We did this year. We did this year a couple times already here.
I'm sorry.
I'm saying, which shirim not to say again. We mentioned before a famous Taisvis. Taisvis writes that the raya that you can make a bracha on a minig is Yom Tov Sheni. Since you make a bracha on Yom Tov Sheni, so you have a raya, you can make a bracha on Minhagim. That's Taisvis' comment. So we mentioned Kibbeh has a kasha, and we spoke about the Biskrov, which Blin Eder we'll get to again today. But Haftarah was instituted as a takana. So the question is, was this also? We can debate. It's not a berachah mitzvah pashtus. Again, it depends why they instituted the Haftarah. If it was supposed to fill the role of Kriyas HaTorah, Kriyas HaTorah is a din, so therefore it's fulfilling a mitzvah.
It doesn't say.
That's right.
We don't make a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah either. It's a different kind.
It's correct. It's a different type of a bracha. It's a different type of a berachah HaTorah. It's also correct. So let's see if we can try to figure this all out. But the problem that we have to first get to is there's a stira in Ramah. The Ramah wrote one sefer called Darkei Moshe. That was his commentary on the Torah. And then he wrote another sefer called the Ramah that we all learn, we all use, the Ramah's commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. So we just quoted in number 7, the Ramah's commentary to the Darkei Moshe wrote that the minig is to read the 5 Megillahs and to make a bracha. Just to note, I read somewhere that minig Chabad, or some Chabad, doesn't say any of the Megillahs. They don't say it. It's not on the radar. Which wouldn't surprise me, really. Because if you don't accept the Masechta Sefer, so then okay, you don't say it. It's not brought down anywhere else. Now, it is brought down in Ramah, Shulchan Aruch, and many Rishonim, but if you just, your minig is not to follow the Masechta Sefer. I've heard of shuls that take a skip out on all the Megillahs. Not just because they want to finish faster. Yeah, you want to find where to go. I have heard of such places. But,
I think the
Sfarim don't do it?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. It's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down in the Ramah. But that doesn't always mean that the Sfarim are not going to do it. So again, the Darkei Moshe in number 7 told us that you make it. And then he writes, V'chein HaMinug. V'chein HaMinug is Ramah's way of saying, this is what we do in Krakow, and this is what all other Ashkenazic Jews around me have been doing up till the date of printing of the Sefer. That's what he means. Then in number 10, when the Ramah wrote a commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, where this is in Simen Tov Tzadi. Simen Tov Tzadi is actually Hilchas Pesach. That's where all of the talk about the Chamish Megillahs is not in Shavuos, it's not in Sukkot, it's in Hilchos Pesach. So writes the Ramah, V'noyagim, we have a minhag. That's a tricky word. We have a minhag. Loi ma'ashir ha'ashirim b'shabbos shal chol ha'moed, v'm shabbos b'yam tov'achro enoy m'moyse b'yose shabbos, okay. V'chein adin b'sukkis im keheles, v'noyagim loi m'ros b'shavuos, v'ha'om nogu shalai levarach aleim. But the Velt doesn't make a baruch ha'amikr Megillah v'loi ha'amikr k'suvim. Really? Didn't you just tell me in number 7 in the Darkei Moshe, V'chein HaMinog, that the accepted custom is to make a bracha like the Rishonim? You, the Ramah, quoted me from the Maril and the Masechta Seferim and the Agos Maimonides who all write to make a bracha. And then you turn around and you write a Sefer where you tell me, yeah, you don't make a bracha. So it's a stira in the Ramah. First of all,
he said it, and then he looked at the Metzias and said,
So if you notice, if you'll be a real Medaikin, you'll notice there's a difference in the wording in the Darkei Moshe as there is in the Ramah on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. This is not my diak. The Ramah himself makes his diak. Because the Ramah wrote a third sefer called Shailos and Tshuvas Ramah, where he kind of explained himself a little bit more. Points out the Ramah, look what I wrote in Darkei Moshe. I wrote, V'chein HaMinog, And in number 10, he wrote, V'ha'om no'agu. V'ha'om no'agu means, this is what people do. Doesn't always mean it's right. V'ha'om no'agu is, this is what people do. Are people right? I don't know. But this is what they do. He's just telling you what people do. This Ramah is quoted in many places. Wherever you come across a Ramah where he writes, V'ha'om no'agu, the Poskim say this is not the Ramah signing off on it. He's telling you a historical fact. It's an important idea to remember because the Poskim bring up this Ramah. This is one of those Ramahs you don't want to forget. The Ramah writes, V'ha'om no'agu is not a psak, it's a metzias. This is what people are doing. Now, the argument is, well, you should change it. Get up and tell everyone, well, this is wrong. Yeah, you should be doing it. Okay? That we'll see in Tshuvas Ramah.
Say that. Then he says, V'chein aminu.
Right, so over here he's ending off. So meaning, if you called up the Ramah and asked him, I'm starting a new shul this year and I'm going to open it up for Shavuos. Should we make a bracha on what are we doing? Rus. What would he say?
We'll do a bracha, how about reading it?
You're saying, do what you want, but I say no.
He'll tell you, I've spoken to Rabban, they'll tell you, the Velt does this. I'll say, I know what the Velt does, but what's right? And there's two questions. What the Velt does? We all know what the Velt does, right? I quote often from Rabbi Belsky, that's all. He used to say, everyone in Klaus has the same rabbi. What's the rabbi's name? Rabbi, everyone does it. That's the rabbi's name. Rabbi, everyone does it. We all know we're guilty of this crime. We do what everyone else does. Is that right? That's the question.
Two different arguments. One is that you read it and that you make a
bracha. Right. So he writes that the minhag is the ha'om nogu not to make a bracha. Even though he wrote in Darkim.
Even though you read it.
Yeah, but he wrote in Darkim Moshe that the minhag is to make a bracha. That's a contradiction.
No, but what I'm saying is that he's saying that there's two minhagim. One is that you read it.
Right.
That's minhag number one. And that you make a bracha.
That's correct. Right. So, yeah, he's accepting the notion that you even have to read it. That's
I
a good point.
Brachas on Lola. I mean, who's mistaken all these?
So those are normal. Those are brachas ha-mitzvahs, which are derabbanan.
As a regular, every bracha mean the rabbanan other than brachas ha-Torah?
That's correct. That's the question. So we're basing it off of the Masechta Sofrim. We're trusting. Masechta Sofrim say you make a bracha, so we trust the Masechta Sofrim.
And what's the Masechta Sofrim?
That's a question. That's a machlokes Rishonim. Who exactly the author is? That's a big machlokes Rishonim. Yeah, we started the show off with that. That's how we started off the show with a machlokes Rishonim. Yeah, it's a discussion between the Ramban, the Rajb, and others historians up till today. Who exactly was the author of the Masechta Sofrim? The Rosh Hilchos Sefer Torah thinks it was written by much later. Written by perhaps even the Zman of Rishonim. Big question, who it is. But we use it, we accept it.
Is this the Rabbanan codified like the Mitzvah Satorah, like by the Rabbanan? Do we know what the Rabbanans are?
We don't have anyone to put it together. Uh-huh. We have whatever the Gemara tells us. We know the list of them. But the question is, what is this a mitzvah? Is this a minog? What is this? We know you don't make a brach on a minog, you make a brach on a mitzvah.
By Megill Assessor, it says, Vikaru
Baseh. That's right. That's right.
Doesn't say it by Rus, doesn't say it by Kohel.
That's correct.
So there itself was
so there we have,
to read it. So
but again, that's my point. And Masechta Sofrim, he lumps Esther with the other ones. Right. We know we have a whole Masech, we have a whole Gemara, with a whole Sefer called Megillas Esther that has psukim and drushas of,
and
directive and Navi telling us to do this.
Right.
We don't have that for any of this. So that's that. So the question is, that whoever wrote Masechta Sofrim, did they make this up? Did they decide, they think it's very appropriate that on every Yom Tov we should read a Megillah, or they were basing it on something else and they decided not to give us the background that we need?
The whole thing is that it's a minog. So originally he's saying it was a minog. The minog is to say the bracha. Not to say the bracha. So now the minog is
not to say the bracha. Right. But the
so
question.
The minog is not to change.
Okay. But how could the Ramah say the Ramah is the same person? He wrote two svarim. He wrote. Oh, we have to get to that. We're going to have to get to that. We've spoken about this in the past as well. Which minhagim get a bracha and which minhagim don't get a bracha? Now again, if this is only a minhag, you can't justify the words Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav vitziva. No, I wasn't commanded to read the Megillah. Not the Rabbanu, not Midaraisa. How can I say those words? How could anyone get up on Shavuos and say, Hashem, you commanded, where did he ever command you to read Rus? It never happened. Masechta Sofrim is a commandment? Does it have a step? So the Gemara answered, the question does Masechta Sofrim carry that weight? That's the question.
But even Masechta Sofrim seems to say, he uses the same lashon as Ramah, but nohagu am kach, she'en halach mikbas, ha'tikul amin. It sounds like it just depends on what people do.
Right, but
Masechta Sofrim brings us down.
But that's only about the when to read it, not the reading of it. That's why I photocopied the first comment is we read it. Then the question is when, how to. It sounds
maybe
like
he's going on the whole thing.
Maybe we'll have to see, and that might be the answer to the question. If the minhag was never widely accepted, so then it's not a kasha. You don't make a bracha. Okay, so let's see if we can. So right now it seems to be a steerer in the Ramah. So the Levush, who was a Talmud of the Ramah, the Levush writes like this.
What was the deal? You said
because in Darki Moshe he writes v'chein haminug,
right.
And then in the Ramah he writes v'ha'om nagu, the people do. But we always know what happens when the people do things. It doesn't always mean it's done. Al pi halacha, just what is was. This is funny because sometimes the achronim write
declarative.
Right, one is what I think you should do, and one is factual what people are doing. Right, sometimes the achronim write puk chazim al madavar. Go out and see what people do. So sometimes we use that as an indicator. And sometimes we say, well, everyone is wrong. So don't base your life based on the world. So let's see.
The Ramah he writes
v'ha'om nagu shloi levar chalei. The minig is not to make the brach. So I'm both right. But the problem is, we learned in the Zaki Marisha where he says the minig is to make a brach. So it's a steer. It seems to be a steer in the Rambam.
And you don't make a brach, I'll make a ksuvim either.
Right. He has that also, right. That's the machlokes between the Mordechai and everyone else.
Well, Chabad had to have something to rely on if they basically did away with the whole reading of the Megillah.
I think so, perhaps. They'll tell you that it's not an established minig and therefore it's not binding.
But they held the sofrim was a mistake.
They don't have to follow it. Whoever it was, it probably started before the movement of Chabad, but in any case, they held it's not binding lahaloch. So let's leave the Lavush. Lavush was a Talmud of the Ramah. He writes, the Koyin Shia Shirim Mishum Shemidav Mishar al Gulas Mitzrayim. We read Shia Shirim on Pesach because it talks about Gulas Mitzrayim. Umavarchan alav al Mirkum Megillah v'shachiyanu. V'shachiyanu. Why? The Ham is Malaz Mankasi. You only do it every seasonal. It's a seasonal mitzvah. A seasonal mitzvah? Can you call this a mitzvah? And in order to make a shachiyanu, it would have to be presumably a mitzvah. Is this a mitzvah? So perhaps it is a mitzvah. And that's l'shita soy. To the extent that it's a mitzvah, you say shachiyanu, it's a mitzvah. You could say vitzivanu. You have to come out somehow that it's a chiyuv.
A mitzvah meaning it's something that
someone said we have to do it.
You were commanded
right.
To do it.
Either rabbinically or deraisa. But
not
someone said, not just a nice custom that people do. Then he writes, because of Mayri Ramah, my Rebbe the Ramah, writes, Sha'om nogu shloi levarach klal ala megillus. That the veld doesn't make brachas on the megillus. Ratzalayim shashim verus. Veni yedea, lama lo yivarach olav. I don't know why not. Says the Lavush, I don't get it. Says the Lavush, how did my Rebbe know this? He writes, v'ha'om nagu. He took a poll. How does he know? He says, sharei ha'kol karim balachash. U'mevorchim balachash. Mi higid loy shalei baruchu kulam. Im shama mektas mehem loy baruchu. Shema mechasarim yidiyah asu shalei karu. Said the Lavush, who told you the Ramah, what goes on in all the communities? Maybe they said it quietly. It used to be this was a quiet experience. And maybe you missed it. They made a bracha and no one told you about it. So today, with the way we read it out loud and everyone knows, back then it was like the way the Chassidish Shtibla read the Haftarah. Have you ever been to a Chassidish Shul for Haftarah?
Yeah, last week.
It's wild what goes on. You missed the whole thing.
Could have been in Kiddush. It is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of the
Tzibur. Oh, that's what I want to get to today. If it is a Chiyuv, to whatever extent, is it a Chayvus Yachid or is it a Chayvus Tzibur? What's the classical nafkaminas? If you missed it. Right, you woke up late and you missed davening. Right, you woke up late the second day because you stayed up the second night because you're a machmir. Right, the Frumma guy will speak about that Tuesday night. You decide to stay both nights. So now your wife is really stuck with the kids for 48 hours long, a real chumro. Right? What do you do now? You missed Rus. So you got to find someone to read Rus for you. So it should depend. If it's a chavis yachas, it's a chavis sib.
Now,
but the problem is, kriyas atara, at least we know you're supposed to do. We're working after the fact. Kriyas HaTorah, we know is a din. It's brought down in the Gemara, Baba Kama, Daf Pei. It's a din. They're a bonan. So then it's a shadow of the Chavis Tzibur. But now we're trying to figure out something which is a minug. Is it a minug Tzibur, a minug Yachid? We're kind of working backwards. So we've spoken in the past about Kriyas HaTorah, whether or not it's a Chavis Yachid or a Chavis Tzibur. It's a big machlokes Rishonim and machlokes Achronim. We mentioned that Rabbi Soloveitchik used to, when he used to fly back on Monday mornings, he used to try to gather a minion together to hear Lainey again if he missed it the first time. But a lot of people are saying that it's only a Chavis Tzibur. It's not a Chavis Yachid. So if you oversleep Monday, or people, let's say, when they travel, they can't always arrange to be in a place where there's a minion, so then they'll miss Kriyas HaTorah. You don't have to make it up because it's assumingly a Chavis Tzibur. So the Lavush says, I don't understand why my Rebbe says what he says. And then he writes, Pagois Rebbe Isaac Turnow. He said, but if you look in the Hagos Rebbe Isaac Turnow, for Oysam Shakor Baruchu. He quotes Rabbi Isaac Turnow as one of the early Miyaste Minhage Ashkenaz. Rabbi Isaac Turnow writes, Avadi make a brach. So now the Lubush is very confused. He says, why does my Rabbi think you don't make
Megillus.
Right? Yeah. He should al Elu Beis Megillus on these two. Yeah. At least Shea Shirim and Kehos. Right. Or Shea Shirim and Rus. So what's going on over here? So the Ramah wrote a sefer called Chuvas Ramah. Right? So he wrote letters and answers. So he has a whole Chuvas Ramah, Simulam and Hey, discussing on top. It's much longer than I put down, but I only put what I call the Reisha Prakim. And even that we probably won't get to. So he writes over here number 12. He says, V'chein dikdakdi b'mashe kasafti. Says the Ramah, you should notice that I was very careful with what I wrote. And what did I write? V'ha'om nogu shlei levarach. V'loi kasafti stam v'chein noigim k'mayishu midarki b'shara mekaimis. This is one of those lessons that I don't know the Ramah's style of writing. Says the Ramah, in other places I don't write ha'om nogu. I write v'chein nohagim, which is what you should do. not what people do. But here I wrote differently. Here that's what he wrote in the Dark Yemoisha, which means that's what I really think is right versus what people are actually doing. Then he says, Upuk Chazi, I love this line, Upuk Chazi Ma'amad Devar. Look what people are doing. The Maisa, what I wrote in the Ramah, is a reflection of society, what society is doing.
Interesting, he switches to Aramaic for that one.
For that one, right. He's borrowing a Torah from the Gemara. That's the Gemara's Tumpuk Chazi Ma'amad Devar. Now, I mentioned to you earlier, sometimes people say, oh, that's the wrong way of doing things. Because the people, right, the Oilam is a Goylam, as everyone says, oh, right, we're going to follow everyone on the street. They don't know what they're doing. Here the Ramah says, no, Puk Chazi Ma'amad Devar. So I never know when you're supposed to say that line or not. I follow whatever the Achreidim write. So then he lists four reasons to where he debates the notion of the Chiyuv of the Megillah. So he writes, Aleph. Didn't we just read from the Levush that Levush said if Rabbi Isaac Turnau says to make the bracha? Here the Ramah says no. Rabbi Isaac Turnau never said to make the bracha. So now we have Machlokes Talmud and Rebbe what Rabbi Isaac Turnau really said. Okay, it happens. By the way, Machlokes between the Levush and the Ramah if Rabbi Isaac Turnau said it, but they both agree.
We don't have anything from him.
We have the manuscripts, but the question is what print they had. He writes, "Ubiyadua ki ilu hayadait ilin gavarach haykaisik vashikasav gabi echalavarach." He says, "Because if Rabbi Isaac Turnau wanted you to make a bracha, he would have told you to make a bracha." Now, what you see from everyone is that everyone agrees that whatever Rabbi Isaac Turnau writes is binding. We're just having machlokes is what Rabbi Isaac Turnau wrote, which is interesting, because many minhagi Ashkenaz come from Rabbi Isaac Turnau's minhag. Then he writes, "V'yesh l'chalik." Now we get to the lomdus. Dr. Ramol, here's some lomdus. V'yesh l'chalik. He first draws a distinction between Echa and the other Megillus. Kisham hachazin kore lahashmi'a hatzibur. Because the way it used to happen by Echa was the chazin would read it out loud for the whole tzibur. V'havi kimoi kriyas Megillah. And it's like a Megillah, one reading for the mass. L'chem mevaruch olav kimoi b'Megillah. So what's the implication? But that wasn't the way the other Megillahs were done. The other Megillahs were more private experiences. Not that one person read for the whole Kehillah. Everyone read it to themselves. So therefore, says the Ramah, since the other Megillahs are not read in the same setting, as the same style as the Megillah, it doesn't get the bracha al Mikra Megillah. It doesn't really answer the question. Why wasn't it done that way? He gufo. If everything is copying Mikra Megillah, Megillah's Esther, so let's follow it all the way and read it the same way they did it then. For oid, ki oisa kriyas muskeres b'gemar saif tainis. Says the Ramah, not so fast. Reading of the Echa is actually brought down in the Gemara. The Kamar says, kairim b'kinis. It says we read the kinnis, which the Rishonim learn means Echa. Ve'eviu ha'poiskim k'tisa bagos ma'iminis avol kriyas shel megillas elu einam ela minug ba'alma. That's a good reason. You know why you don't make a bracha? Because it's only a minug. And we have a principle, you don't make a bracha on a minug. Echa might be different because Echa is based on the Gemara.
But what you say by Echa anyway, it's avelus, you don't make a bracha on avelus other than bracha dynamis.
And a bracha, that's right. That's a question.
And megillah also is, you know,
but again, if it's a birchas ha-mitzvah, then we should. If it's a shechionu, maybe not. Maybe not a shechionu, but a mitzvah should be like any other birchas ha-mitzvah. You know, we're not happy to do it, but l'chayim it should be a mitzvah. Then the Ramah gives you two other reasons.
Distinguished by Megillah Sassi, because of Merovam and Pursumi Nisa and all that, that's different. I mean, we all view that one as nobody misses it, and the others, like you said.
Right, but that's the question. If we're going to lump them all together, should we lump them all together? So I would have argued, of course not. Megillah was brought down by that was made by Mordechai and Esther, that's Anshik Nesak Deila. To my knowledge, no Anshik Nesak Deila got together and said everyone should read Rosh Hashir Mikaelis. That should be the argument. But then he comes up with two other svaras. On the next page, he writes, Atama Shlishi, Ki yesh letmu al bracha zu. Lomba, why would you make a bracha? V'chi kriyas elu chiyuv alavarach alayu asher kidushonu b'mitzvaysov v'tzivonu. Are these obligatory readings? Heichi matzinu shetziva chacham malkach. Shavei loy niskuru kriyas elu b'talmud v'loy b'shum poisik m'forsam. Ki im b'divri ha'achreinim u'b'ktsas midrashas. So what do you see from the Ramah? Masechta Seifim doesn't count for too much. If Mesach Seifrim was binding, well, what's the kasha? It's Mefurish Mesach Seifrim. Clearly from the Ramah, he was not overly nispal from what's brought down in Mesach Seifrim. That didn't necessarily change his world. And again, when he writes over here, Ki Medivya HaAchreinim, he must mean later Rishonim, because he's the Achreinim, right? We know that the Ramah meant Rishonim. He meant, because it's brought down in Hagos Maimonides, it's brought down in Sefer HaManig, it's brought down in Mordechai. That doesn't get me going. It needs to be brought down in a Gemara somewhere. It's not a Gemara. Doesn't make it to the Brach.
Except in the Dark Moshe, he possibly doesn't have to make it.
That's right. In Dark Moshe, he's all convinced that I have all these Rishonim. If I make it.
And that's the. According to the way he explained.
So, what he's trying to.
That's his
side. Right, what he's trying to do in Chuvas Ramah is to try to validate what the custom was, whether or not he really believes it. But he's trying to validate what he thinks common custom was and why it is that way. Something like that. But it's funny because he's going to build such a great argument, it's not going to make everything around Dr. Moshe questionable. you're going to give four reasons to why we don't make a bracha, then you have to ask yourself, why do you write in Darkei Moshe v'chein Nog?
And why did you write at the beginning of the tshuva that when I wrote
that's
that,
right, that's right.
That's right. That's the
minute. Very strange thing. By the time you finish reading the tshuva so much, you think the real ikkah should be the Darkei Moshe. That's one argument. Then he comes up with a fourth argument. Hatam reviv v'ikkahu be'inai, te'afim nema di'esh tovarach alayu. Even if you want to make a brach, ulishizen is chavnu mesecha seifrim. Now he acknowledges that the mesecha seifrim wrote it. Hainu davka kishahim ksuvim kitikonom biklafim u'megillas. You'd only make a brach if it's written properly, on klaf, with ink, and everything. Kemo yishay derech ha-seifrim ha-rishayim ksuvim biglilu kisev etayr, the way it used to be written. Ba'af al pish ha-kasev b'girs ha-mesecha seifrim, af pish ha-ksuvim ha-ksuvim, b'kom makim ma'ri shakulam ksuvim b'krachecha, b'klafim k'derech seif etayr, they were all written in one separate thing. Kemo yishay ha-minog b'imehem. But our chumashim is definitely not going to make a brach. So Dr. Ramah, it's pasha to him. Even if you want to accept the Masechta Seif, the Masechta Seif will only be talking about if you wrote it like a Sefer Torah, you wrote it like a Megillah. Perhaps he's trying to deal with the Rashash's kasha. That sometimes it has to be called a Megillah. So if you write it like a Megillah, then it has a Shem Megillah.
So why don't you just read it from a cloth and make the
bracha? Oh, says the Darkei Moshe, that's my right that you're not supposed to do it. Yesh lechir she'in levarach ha'magil se'ilu. De'im ha'yuroi acha megil saksuv mikitikonam k'vay megil sester. You make every shul go out and buy one. Why is that not the minig? To the kuliyam mechayuv lahadir acha megil k'sheira. Everyone holds you got to buy megil sester. Ve'in levarach ha'l'chumish el mikayach t'chak u'kedina belulov. The only time you're ever going to use a chumish is if you have no other option. Why don't you find the minhag again, at least in the 1500s? No one was running around to buy cloths for the five megillas. The minhag is not to make a bracha. So once you're not making a bracha, then you can use anything. There's no perk anymore of using cloth in the yayin and spend the money.
So today, if you're in a shul and they just don't have a cloth or it's puzzle, so they have to read out of a sefer, you wouldn't make a bracha?
On what? On the megillas? On megillas Esther? No, you wouldn't, right?
You would not make a bracha.
No, we wouldn't do that.
Or any of the brachas.
That's right, that's right.
Does anyone say that maybe that was in those times? Because people, you know, Baruch Hashem today we have, you know, more affluent. So maybe today it should be a chiv on the shuls to go out and buy and
there are plenty do. Plenty do. We had a shir many years ago here where we talked about should you use cloth for haftarah. Yeah. We discussed the same idea. That maybe if Baruch Hashem Klai has much more money today, right, maybe we should spend the extra money to get a cloth and do things more kiddin.
Right.
There are plenty of shuls that have the haftarahs on cloth. They have it here.
Yeah.
They don't have it here.
No, they have it in the retro.
The retro has it. Retro has it. I know the retro has it. Some yeshivas have it.
No, but there you on haftarah you're making a bracha anyway. What I'm saying is on the chamesh megillos, why don't we say go out and buy megillos?
Because they're still going to go out and get it, and they're still not going to make a bracha.
Why?
That's what we have to get to. Okay. Even after all this work, because we're still not going to make a bracha. He said, I guess he means over there by lulav, if you don't have them. Sometimes by lulav, we let you make a bracha, even if it's not done 100% right, because the Gemara says we don't want you to forget. Right. That's what he's referencing. That's one thing I can think of.
Yeah, it's a minor to go out and get a cloth, which I know a lot of shuls have, including my own.
Do they make a bracha by you? Do they make a bracha by you when they read it?
Yeah.
Ah, okay, so that's why they're going to go out and do it. But we're going to see that some place, well, even if you get the cloth, you still don't make a bracha. So there's really no perk. So let's see what he said at the end. So he writes, El Mikol Yeshu is talking about. So therefore concludes the Ramah. Mikol Eila Nira the Yeshu Yoisa Lachosh Levarich Sheena Tzricha Mema Sheish Lachosh Le Levarich. Says Ramah, if I have to pick, is it better to make a bracha or not to make a bracha? Always skip the bracha because bracha is an amakiv, and therefore says Ramah, that's why we don't make a bracha. Okay. But this is not the end of the discussion. If you look over here in the Taz, in number 14, the Taz writes. On the Ramah's comment of Ha'om Loinog Levarach Ashur Megillah Chutz Megillah Sester, Al Kain Kol Amivarach Al Megillah Seilu Ha'yibrachal Vatol. Says the Taz, if you make a bracha on the Megillah, that's a bracha vatol. You can't make a bracha on Kehela Sheshim, it's a bracha vatol. That's pretty much the way the Ramah seems to pask. Says the Magen Avraham, not so fast. He writes, Aval Levush Ubach Umanhigim Umatem Moshe Kos Levarach Al Kulom Chutz Mekehelas. They do get make a bracha.
I thought we said
chutz me'echem,
not like
chutz me'kehelas. Because Kehelas was a shayif was in the gears of the Masech Tosefim. But the Taz disagrees. The Magen Avraham disagrees. Magen Avraham says, why shouldn't you make a bracha? Because the Ramah says that. Who cares? We go by the letter of the law. Letter of the law is you should make a
bracha.
Doesn't say. I didn't make that distinction yet. It sounds like however you're reading it. So everyone says, oh, the Vilna Gaon held to make a bracha on the Megillah. On the Megillah. So it's not the Vilna Gaon. Magen Avraham says it also. Why is everyone giving the credit to the Vilna Gaon? So if you look in the Vilna Gaon in number 16, he writes, he quotes the same pasuk as the Magen Avraham quoted. He says, "V'chein kasev abach ulevush umanhigim." It's interesting. The Taz and the Bach disagree. The Taz holds a bracha vatal, and the Bach holds you have to make a bracha. We know they were related. Right? The Bach was the father-in-law of the Tafs. So that was a good family argument about whether or not you should make a bracha on the Megillus. It's not such a kash because they were never really together. They didn't spend so much time together, the two. The Bach was very wealthy, the Taz was very poor, and the Bach didn't even realize how poor his son-in-law was. Once he was traveling through a town, he saw the Taz, he didn't know how poor he was. So it doesn't say that he gave him money. So he helped him get a job. That sounds maybe a Musa Shmuz, I don't know. But he didn't just grant him a check, which he could have done. He helped him get a job, and this way the Taz moves his way up in the rabbinic positions. So, says the Vilna Gaon, you make a bracha on the Megillah. He writes, second line of the Gra, Umatim Moshe Levarach, Av She'en K'suvim Begilyon. Even if it's not written like our Megillus, the Kol She'en K'suvim K'suvim Begilyon K'sev Teira, goes without saying that you're going to make a bracha. Now that only works with one of the arguments of the Ramah, not with the other arguments that it doesn't say it anywhere. Writing it on a Megillah doesn't make it more of a Makar.
Why do they have to say that?
He's trying to bring out his point.
No, but he said Av She'en even if it's not written in
right,
Megillah,
then but
you don't say the Kol She'en.
Right, but then he's saying, but if it's a, meaning I hold this way, but I'm saying that everyone should basically be on board when it's written by Megillah. Now that's not really 100% accurate. That's only one of the arguments the Rambam made. The other argument of it's not brought down anywhere, that doesn't change because you made it. I mean, if I wrote a beautiful book and put it like a Sefer Torah, it doesn't make it obligatory for us to read it. So he's still not going to make a bracha. So that argument he doesn't address.
Then the bracha makes on Mikra Pesuvim or Mikra Megillah?
No, Mikra Megillah. We'll see them first in a second. V'chein mina kol harishayim says the girl. This is not my chiddush. Rishayim write this. We went through this already. V'chein kasev magen Avram. So says the magen Avram. U'mashik kasev chos mekehelas lessa. He disagrees with that. And okay, maybe for kehelas we can one day talk about. Says the ma'aser rav lahagra number 17. B'shabbos chol ma'ay pesach v'sukkos v'shulish yom beis echar yoytzrus koydim in kamaycha karin ha'megillah benigim betamim me'megillah hanichteves begilyon kisei v'toyer im amudim. V'echad kaira v'kulam shayimim v'akaira mevarich shtei brachas al mikra megillah v'shehechiyanu. Okay, so in the commentary on the Shulchan Aruch he doesn't say anything about the shehechiyanu. Here he writes, you make the shehechiyanu.
This is the first time they
change
the time, right?
In Sechel Seifim has it. That's correct. Now what's interesting about the Vilna Gaon and what we all do is when do we read the Megillahs before Kriyas HaTorah? Frek the Acharein, and what happened to Tad the Vishen, Tad the Kaidim? What should really go first? Kriyas HaTorah should go first. What do we do on Purim? We don't read the Megillah first. We read the Torah first. Then we read the Megillah. So why is it when it comes to the Chamish and Megillah, the order is reversed? It's kasha, many Achrayim and Masters. Rabbi Zalman discusses it. Moshe Sternbach, Rabbi Salvation has a piece in Harry Kedem about it. Many Achrayim and Masters kasha, that the order seems to be reversed by this Megillah versus the other Megillahs. So we'll see what the answer is hopefully in a few minutes. Now just to round out the sheet, if you look in the Chayk Yankov, Chayk Yankov writes, Uktas Achrayim and Pasku Sheesh Levarich, Vahataz Masa Kedas Arav She'ein Levarich, Vechein Iker. So the Chag Yaakov, that's the right way. Why get yourself involved in the shaila of a bracha? Better to do without. When in doubt, leave out, so we don't make the bracha on the Megillus. Says the Mishnah Berurah. He writes, V'chein hiskim ataz. The Taz writes, like the Ramah, not to make a bracha. U'magin Avram hiskim, and Moisan apayiskim, and tzrichim, levarich ha'kulim chotz mekehelis. V'agro bibiur rekosev da'af al-kehelis yesh levarich, u'lechein. Hanoig levarich al-kolponim kishir kaisim la'klav, bevada in limchos biyadei. A very, very passive approach from the Mishnah Berurah. He writes that if you write it on klaf, don't be moicha. Doesn't sound like he's endorsing it. Doesn't sound like Mishnah Berurah saying, yeah, I think everyone should make a brach. It sounds like I really think you should make a brach. But if you have all the milas going, like the Vilna Gaon said, you're writing it on klaf, then I think you could. He doesn't say, then you should make a bracha. He writes that don't be moicha someone who makes a bracha. Still does not sound like a very strong endorsement.
Holy Torah, I shouldn't put it in a Megillah. Or
right.
Klaf.
That's right. Then you run yourself into a shaila. Should I be making a bracha? So we mentioned before that the Vilna Gaon writes, you make a shachiyanu. So the kasha that the Achrayin and Binyan, over here in the Sefer Hilchos Chag B'Chag, I have it from Rebbe Eliashiv. He writes, V'shamati Megane Rebbe Eliashiv Shlita, okay, the Sefer is a few years old, L'tmu Aze. Frak to Rebbe Eliashiv, this Gaon is very difficult. T'mehechi teis l'varach shachiyanu. Why would you make a bracha shachiyanu? T'arei in kriyas ha-megillas halol l'choyves yachid. They're not an obligatory responsibility. Ela minag v'choyves tzibur. It's an obligation on the tzibur. Parentheses we'll come back to. The Rebbe Eliashiv, you should look at this as like Haftarah. You never make a Shachiyanu on the Haftarah of Yom Tov. I only read it on this Yom Tov. So what? This is not an obligatory din. It's like an additional to the davening. You don't make a Shachiyanu on that.
Or you say, why do you make a Shachiyanu every Shabbos? It's the first time this year.
So he writes, U'mekomokom amin Rabbeinu Shlito, she'em b'yadeinu levat la'aminik, she'hine gagro. Said Rebbe Eliashiv, I disagree, but who am I to argue on the Vilna Gaon? Then he writes, "Magen of Chaim Kanevsky Shlito," and I heard from Chaim Kanevsky. That's another father-in-law son-in-law relationship. Shemati Liyashiv.
They got along.
I would assume the Taz and the Bach also got along. I don't think they didn't get along. He writes, they argued, respectfully they argued, the Bach, plenty of times the Taz argues on Isra. He writes, Mori V'chami says this, and I disagree, respectfully. Shemati L'yashiv, Da'afim ha'vi chayves tzibor, uka chayves kriyas ha'tera canal, says Reb Chaim Kesky, let's say you assume a chiddush, that kriyas rus, or she'er shirim, is a chayves tzibor, like laning, which would have a massive halachic implication versus if you're a yachid. Mikomok a minig zehu dafke b'kriyas hei megillus. So you try to figure out what this machlokes is over here. The Yashiv Reb Chaim Kineski, they're having some form of a debate to whether or not you look at this as a haftorah like any other haftorah, or it's a specific, unique haftorah that only happens once a year, and therefore it's in the parasha of Shachiyon. What I would still argue on both of this is it's still not a mitzvah. Aren't shachiyanus done on mitzvahs? There's two types of shachiyanus. Shachiyanus on a mitzvah, haba mizman lizman, or on a pre-chadosh, or something else. Well, what is this? This is neither. Right, and everything that happens once a year gets a shachiyanus.
Many times we rely on shachiyanus for kiddush.
True. So that's probably going to be the answer. Somehow the shachiyanus on Yom Tov will go on this also.
And even before, when you're talking about Megillah,
yeah.
You're still going to make the
Shachianu,
because we're
on the Yom
Tov. Shachianu is for the
other. That's the Taisvus, right? That we did that shit this year. We talked about the Shachianu, why we make two brachas both at night and day. That's part of the discussion.
Right,
so Taisvus and Megillah says that the Shachianu is going on the Tzumah Shal Yom. It's going on the Yom Tov itself, right?
So
that's correct.
You didn't have a clock. You said no brachas, but maybe you.
Maybe the Shachianu would still make, right? So here's something you could debate this machlokes. But the bigger question over here that I wanted to get to is, what's Pshat in the Vilna Gaon? How do you make a bracha on something which is not a mitzvah? It's a minhag. We have a rule based on the Gemara, you don't make a bracha on a minhag. So how do you make a bracha? V'tzivan. Where is the tzivui?
The same way women make it.
Good. So that's what we have to get to. That's the famous briskerov. There's a famous briskerov. We've spoken about it many times in Hilchas Brachas, where the briskerov quotes Yisrael from his father, Reb Chaim, that's trying to answer by Stephen Rambam. The Rambam passes that women don't make a bracha on mitzvah say shazman grom. Any mitzvah that's time sensitive, women don't make brachas. They don't make a bracha on sukkah, lo of all those mitzvahs. Yet the Rambam paskins that a lady makes brachas atayra. So frekt achrayim, I don't understand. Brachas atayra is the brachas mitzvah on Talmud Torah. So with the Brechas HaMitzvah on Talmud Torah, so women are not Mechoyev in Torah. The Chiyav of the Yigisa Yom V'layla is not for women. They don't have a Chiyav Talmud Torah.
Not because it's time sensitive.
The Gemara learns it out from Sukkot.
Okay, so that's the difference.
No, but they're still not obligated. Why should it matter why they're not obligated? The idea is, because the Gemara says, it's Mechoyev Mishayim, can you make a bracha on something which you're not? The Gemara says you can't make a bracha because you can't say the word Vitzivonu. I'm not obligated. So they're still not obligated. So that's a steer in Rambam. So Reb Chaim develops a yisoid, which we've spoken about before. It's used a lot. Reb Chaim develops a yisoid that there's really a machloikish rishonim. Why can't you make a bracha on a minik? Rashi says because you can't say the words vitzivon. It's not true. No one commanded you. However, the Rambam seems to hold knowledge. The Rambam seems to say that the mitzias of a bracha is only on something which is a commandment. If it's not a commandment, it's not begeder kedusha to require a bracha. So Reb Chaim comes up with the following idea. Reb Chaim says that sometimes the bracha is not on the kim hamitzvah. The bracha is on the actual thing itself. Meaning, when a lady makes brachas ha-Torah, before she learns, she's not making a bracha on her obligation to learn Torah. She's making a bracha on the Torah itself. In order to recite Divrei ha-Torah, one must need to make a bracha before they do that. Not because I'm obligated. It's not like a lulav. It's because the idea of Torah.
But the formula of the bracha.
Because again, he's going with the Ram. The Ram has no problem with the words vitzivon. Tzivon is not the problem. The problem is you can't make a bracha on something which doesn't have the level of mitzvah. So over here, the bracha is not because it's an obligation. The bracha is on the kedushas atayr. Okay, we've spoken about how to be mazbe this Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim, in number 21, the Briskerov quotes from his father, where he writes like this, V'shamati pi avi adoni mori ha-goyin ha-chosid. Okay, he referred to his father as a chosid. Reb Chaim sha'amar. The brichas atayr ain't a bracha al-kim ha-mitzvah shal Talmud Torah. The bracha of brichas atayr is not on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Rak du din b'fnei'atzim the tayr b'yi bracha. It's a separate din. Before reciting Torah, one needs to make a bracha. Like the Gemara learns that from the Derasha Kishem Hashem Ekra, Imkein Ein Zed Din Shayach LeMitzvah Klal, it's under the mitzvah. Rak Da Torah Atzmei Tu'unu Bracha. The Chevtza, the people say, the Chevtza of Torah requires a bracha recited before it. Not because it itself is the mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah. It's the Chashivas HaTorah. It means you can't just stroll into it. You need to make some form of a bracha before saying it.
So that's why a woman can make on the love for the same reason.
She can make a bracha.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, that's a question of how to learn those Rishayim that hold she could make the bracha. That's the other way. The Rishayim say Vitzivanu was the world was commanded, not necessarily you, not the Welt. The other way of saying it.
Is such a strong mirroring that it became like a Torah.
That's the problem. If that's really true, so one year she misses it, she's a Mevatla Mitzvah. The other way of saying it, Vitzivanu means we were obligated, or it means Vitzivanu means that we're going to get Kima Mitzvah for it, we get Tzchar for it. We spoke in the past on how to get around that Kasha Vitzivanu. So says the Briskerov, V'limudim have v'chaltam Torah, meaning it's a din in learning Torah, not in being commanded. And when a lady learns Torah, that's called Torah. So therefore she needs to make a bracha prior to that as well. Dr. Briskerov, V'lefizeh, Yesh mokum loyma demayda tini misachal seifin that kari b'kisvei ha-kodesh b'vachal kishon k'shon 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 this yisod of my father, now I can understand what we call the Vilna Goyin, or for that matter, the misachal seifin. How can you make a barach on the five megillahs? It's not a chiyuf. It's a minug. How do you say vitzivonu on a minug? Sokhtib Chaim, ve'ein zeh. He says, rakti tiknu barach al etzim kriyosam bitzibur. Ve'ein zeh mishum lesed ha mitzvah klal. The bracha was not because you mean the kind of mitzvah, because there is no mitzvah, kriyas chameshis megillas. But when you read the Torah b'tzibur, that's a new level of kedushas ha-Torah. That Torah needs a bracha before reciting it. Again, if I read Rus in my house, I don't have to do that. But when it's b'tzibur, which sounds like to you that the lumnus is a chi of choyvas tzibur, not a choyvas yochid, says the Briskerov, that's the difference.
What's
the
bracha
on
megillah?
What?
The bracha should be on the Torah.
Because Lamaisa, that's what you're doing. You're doing the Megillah. It's because when you're reading a Megillah, which is one of the breakdowns of the Torah, you have to make a bracha before it. That's what he says. So Zok to Briskerov, now everything makes sense. If you accept this notion of the Briskerov, so this should lead us, and again, I apologize, we're short on time. If I show up late to this Chumash play, I'm never going to hear the end of it. But
it'll be the last year we have.
That's going to be the last year. There's no question about that. So we're very short for time, but I just want to make two ha'aras on the third page, which is kedai to read. First of all, if you assume like the Vilna Goyin, then the Chayy, you have a problem. If you assume like the Vilna Goyin before the Briskerov, that it's really somehow a Chiyuv, so then you should have the kasha. Why don't we go back to the rules? Tadr b'shein tadr tadr kaidim. So the achronim all answer. You only say tadr b'shein tadr when one's the equal chiyuv. One's a chiyuv, one's a minug. The minug goes before the chiyuv. That's great. That's only if you're learning it's a minug. But if you take the Vilna Goyin before the Briskerov, that you learn somehow Masechta Seifim is binding, and that's why you make a bracha. So then maybe they are equal chiyuv. Obviously, we know Kriyas HaTorah is perhaps more sourced, but are they still equal? Or maybe you don't say that rule anymore. Yeah, that's the idea that the Achronim bring down. But here's the kasha.
The minhag would go before the.
They're right, because we only say Tadr b'shein tadr, two things on the same playing field. Because we put the minhag first, go first to show that's only a minhag and not a chiv. That's what the Achronim write, why we do that. But here's the kasha. Frecht, someone once asked the Vilna Goyin, if the Vilna Goyin knew the Vilna Goyin, kipshut they seem to understand that it's a chayva to read Megillas, Chameshis Megillas. So he has the following kasha. Why don't you have Gzeir de Rabbah on the Megillas? Just like you're not allowed to do things on Shabbos because Gzeir is Shema Yavirin Adal Aramis. Why are you allowed to read it on Shabbos? So the Vilna Goyin answered because it's a Chayvus HaTzibur. Anything which is a Chayvus HaTzibur, there's no Gzeir de Rabbah. Only things are Gzeir de Rabbah and things are Chayvus HaYachid. Anything which is a Chayvus HaTzibur, there's no Gzeir de Rabbah. Says the Tesis Yom Tif, that's why there's no. Shabbos is a Chayvus HaYachid, it's not a Chayvus HaTzibur. I'm saying every individual must be a shofar. That's why people go to nursing homes and hospitals. But here you don't. So what do you see from the Vilna Goyin? That he understood it to be a chayv tzibur. Says the Tosfos Yom Tov, now you understand why there's no Gzeir Rabbah on every Shabbos. How do we lean on Shabbos? Gzeir Rabbah, we shouldn't be allowed to take the Sefer Torah. Teretz is, Kriyas HaTorah is a chayv tzibur. If you accept the Vilna Goyin's notion that it's a chayv tzibur, so now there should be major nafkamina l'halacha. Nafkamina number one is, let's say a person missed it. Does he have to go run around? The answer is no. It's a chayv tzibur, according to the Vilna Goyin. But what's funny to me is it so posh that we pass like the Vilna Goyin? We clearly don't. What's the biggest indicator? We don't make brachas. Shouldn't that be the biggest indicator we don't pass like the Vilna Goyin? For some reason, Rabbi Yashav, they all write, no, we pass like the Vilna Goyin. No, we don't. Pukhazi. We don't. The other nafkamina view is, what about women? Do women have to hear the five megillas? So normally when things are chayv tzibur, women are generally not included in the chayv tzibur. So do we say the same thing here also? Do we say that women have to hear the Megillah? So if you look on the bottom of the page, number 21. Either way, it should be Zman Groma. Either way, it should be. So they shouldn't be Chayiv. So the Asim Chayim can ask you this question. And his answer was, it's like all other laning. What's the status of all other laning? So we had a share about this a while ago. By all of the leanings, there's a Masech to Seifrim that writes, women are mechuyev to hear Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, which itself is a Pella. Why? They don't have a Chiyuv Talmud Torah. So why do they have to hear the leaning? So we mentioned that perhaps the leaning is not about Talmud Torah, it's about public display of Kriyas HaTorah. But if Reb Chaim Kanievsky is correct, first of all, that's shver, because if you assume it's a Chayvet Tzibur, there's no reason why women should have to be obligated. And Kriyas HaTorah is presumably a Chayvet Tzibur, to why women should be obligated. But he writes that he thinks it should be like all of the leaning. So which to me that means, since women don't go to leaning on Shabbos, they don't go to leaning on Rosh Hashanah Shem either. But L'chayim in Lomdus, we should debate whether or not this should all be accepted. Also, Shaila, if you, again, I'm short on time as always, but again, I urge you to look at some of the other Mamakrim, some very interesting ideas from Rosh Hashanah. He has another pshat, why we don't make a bracha, but nice in the middle of Eilim today, we don't make a bracha, but it definitely begs the question, if we're going to accept the Masechta Seifrim, we should accept the bracha as well.